Good evening and welcome to our regular Wednesday stream. This time with corrected spelling mistakes.
If you'd never said that, people who hadn't seen the posts about it when you first put them up would never know.
I know, but still. I don't want to like gaslight people. And they go, no, I saw it different the first time I did.
No, you didn't.
We're not like weird stealth edit people. Also, Henlo.
Yes, hello.
We're back. We are indeed back, Camelot Crusader. And I do see... They get deleted, but I saw a couple more of our members lurking in the pre-stream. So I will say hello and properly welcome to all of you who show up weekly for these. We are very thankful, and we've been doing... I think we've been doing pretty good over the past couple weeks, just in general.
Yeah.
Apart from the weather. The weather's terrible.
No, the weather is still shite. I still can't believe that thunder from last night. That was ridiculous. Yes, we've been cracking on. People seem to enjoy the stuff that we've been doing recently. So, not to say that we're then just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. But as those who have been around for a while know, we like to just sort of start a kind of arc and then just keep building upon it until it either comes to fruition or things change that we weren't expecting.
We always have a very, very large kind of buffer of topics we'd like to do. A lot of what we've been doing recently is kind of outgrowth of stuff that we really researched a couple of years ago. And we have kind of like a wait and see folder, to be honest, because there's a lot of things that have not quite come to their full conclusion. And we'd rather talk about things in totality than talk about things in confusing little bits and get stuff wrong. So really, the way we're able to predict the future is that we are actually not very timely at all.
No.
And a lot of the research you see from us tends to be months, if not years, in the making.
With recent new elements sort of tacked on that give us a sort of complete, or at least a complete section of the story.
But yes, we will be covering today some more of the immigration stuff. As it's another infinite stream, but this one kind of is a sequel, as we'll get into later, to our infinite council state. The people still come up to me and talk about it if I meet people at events. It was really bizarre because I think it was the second Witan, actually. I had quite a few people who I met say that they'd actually seen that stream and it had instituted in them a bit of their own research. So I was quite glad for that one, but. This is going to be, again, a follow-on from, as well, our stream from last week about the immigration policy trap. Don't worry, we'll be re-going over stuff. We try and make sure that people can understand what we're actually talking about without being too self-referential. But the streams do build on each other. I'm trying to set up playlists as it is to make this more navigable. But, like I keep saying, the YouTube systems for discoverability are just arse. And yes. I have trouble using them. And setting them up. Never mind a slightly more casual user. So we'll
this is
try
why
as
we suggest to people that if you aren't going to support us through some sort of monetary fashion, be that either the Ko-fi thing or PayPal or Substack or being a YouTube member, like some of the folk in the chat are, which we are thankful for, you can also just like share the stuff that we do because that, in some ways, is just as valuable. Like a handful of people posting relevant videos we've done, even if they're not current ones, under Twitter posts, sometimes drives a lot more traction than I think people really realise.
It does. It is, like I said, it is something that you can do. I went through that on our kind of our... We did a dedicated little shilling video, to be honest. But the latest video we have out, because we are doing kind of video versions of our Substack stuff, is the Harry Hay one. People seem to enjoy that, and that's still going up views-wise, so thank you guys for that. Like you mentioned, we do have the Substack, which has all of our kind of stream notes on it, and all of our streams going forward as podcasts, as well as all our written material. And as I put in the chat, I don't know if that actually sent or not, that seems to be in a weird limbo, but there's the Ko-fi, which has PayPal interoperability. So that's kind of our initial shilling out of the way. Don't worry,
yes.
we don't do this too incessantly.
We are thankful for all the people who interact with our stuff, be that in whatever way they choose to. I would just pin that, though.
I can't.
Oh, it's because it tags it.
That's weird. How bizarre. Let me have a quick look. Let me
just copy the link directly from there.
I'll just try that again. There we go. That seems to have worked. There. Yeah, it seems that YouTube... I've had a bit of trouble, as a side note, with YouTube's backend and also Substack's backend this week, but it seems that the internet in general is just kind of creaky at the moment. I don't know. It's something that I've found that the like a lot of internet services have just become really awful as we make our way through what a lot of people now talk about as the competency crisis. But anyway, yes, we've done our 5 minutes waffling as people filter in. So let us actually get on with the stream.
And as William Hague told us, we are in the age of migration.
This is the
migration
age. Becoming
a minority is a framework being adopted by Western governments all over the world at this point, essentially.
Yes.
Arguing that the nation state must be eroded and that all people must exist amongst a common culture and appreciate that everybody's transitory. We are all migrating from one place to the next and to the next, following, I don't know, weird tech bubble startups everywhere we go or whatever the hell it is. But it springs forward the question of, well, how do they do this? How do they make the becoming a minority framework work? What do they have to do to, say, I don't know, Britain, to make it become essentially the infinite migrant camp?
Well, yes, we're very, very down the pathway and down the rabbit hole of mass migration in Europe, and in Britain especially, we are. To give you a recap of kind of where we are, this is the state of the current narrative surrounding immigration. We talked last week about the obsession and laser focus on the small boats, but also one of the key areas is an obsession with the utilization of hotels. As we keep saying, once again, it is a focus on the asylum system, which is a very specific part of the backlog, in quotes, and it's immigration.
The asylum seekers that are definitely coming on the small boats that have definitely come from the Channel.
Yes. But it's the whole thing, the Home Office books talking about fury as 4-star hotel is closed, the house, 230 migrants. There's dozens of these hotels, this is from back in May, that are housing, I believe the BBC said about 51,000 people. But that pales in comparison, as we keep hammering on about, because it needs to be hammered into people, is the 1.4 million visas granted. In 2022.
Yeah, so it's just a very obvious question. Well, if 50 or 60,000 are being housed in these hotels or on army bases or wherever it is, where's the other 1.35 million being housed?
That's the whole point, is that where is the 1.4 million? And where are they? Where are these people? It seems that if 51 to 55,000 people can completely cripple the hotel sector in Britain, what's happened with these 1.4 million people? Where are they hiding them all? Because you tend to notice that. There's a lot of them that have come over with there's the various schemes. Hong Kong, Ukraine's been mentioned. But the reason that we find ourselves in this head-scratching situation where you literally cannot house people is because of this. It's because of this massive number of people who've been shoved into the UK like an overfull locker, basically.
Yes. Oh, it's like one of those Indian trains. Well, there's like 40% of people are hanging on the roof.
The narrative seems to partly revolve around, as well, the cost.
Yes.
What has been mentioned, what we talked about last week, was them talking about, oh, they're mishandling the housing of the migrants. The discussion, as we'll see throughout this, is being moved from they shouldn't be here, they came from fucking France, to, well, we're not efficiently housing these people.
Well, yeah, it's sort of similar to the Blair thing. They have come to the point now where it's agreed upon they're going to stay. I see we've got a few chats there.
We have a few super chats. Before we go any further,
Sberg Media, I share your channel with people who share with people, and I recommend everyone else does too. Thank you for that.
Plus one monetized comment.
Rat Bags Anonymous.
Thank you, Sperg Media, for the £10 in total. Also said, don't use this to buy weed or anime body pillows. We promise not to buy anime body pillows.
We will be buying Theakstons, I think.
Yeah, the Theakstons will be bought with this. And Rat Bag Anonymous says, plus one anime body pillow. So we've been gotten there, I'm afraid. But this is kind of just a snapshot of where we are narrative-wise. I don't want to go over this stuff repeatedly too much, so we will quickly move back on to, again, something we covered last week, but there's bits of this we kind of need to zoom in on. This is the small boats policy exchange document here, laser focus on the small boats, like we said last week, but there are two things in here that really form the backbone of creating the infinite migrant camp, because the conditions already exist within Britain to allow this, but it's about turbocharging them and also making it look like a civic engagement exercise. We went over some of it. I think we actually missed out this bit, or we skimmed it last week, because I did say I did want to... God, there's a lot of mention of the Home Office in here. I'll have to get a bit more...
The Home Office is a statutory...
Yes,
statutory,
yes, there we go.
The word you're after.
The
Home Office has a statutory... Would you let me read it?
So I was going to say, this part is about the fairer dispersal of migrants into the rich and more liberal areas of the UK. Rakib Ehsan, who is the author of this paper, who we've talked about multiple times, has quite literally said that he wants to bus migrants into the rich liberal areas to own the libs in like a Ron DeSantis style thing.
Do you not find this has got remarkable similarities to net zero?
Yes.
It became, you know, oh, we're doing net zero, and then it became net zero is happening. It's yeah. about applying net zero equitably.
Yes, this
and
is...
And now it's immigration is happening, so we are going to try and house the migrants equitably.
Yes.
Anyway, the Home Office has a statutory duty to provide accommodation for asylum seekers who do not have the means to obtain it themselves and or cannot meet their essential living needs. Asylum-related accommodation, both initial and dispersed, is provided by the Home Office via contracts with private companies such as Serco, Mayors Group, and Clear Springs Ready Homes. Traditionally, local authorities have the freedom to choose whether they wish to house asylum seekers in their areas.
Traditionally, yeah. The argument in this document is that local authorities shouldn't have that power to say whether or not they're going to house asylum seekers.
This sounds to me like the Tory party punishing their own base for voting Tory strong seats where they don't house these people.
Yes, it is.
They've actually turned around and like spat in the face of their own. It's kind of funny. Almost.
Effectively, yeah, because there are a lot of councils in Britain who just say, we will not house a single migrant here, basically, because of local politics in that area.
Theakston's money well spent.
Despite the efforts of central government to encourage more authorities to participate in the asylum seeker relocation schemes, at the end of September 2016, just 121 out of the 453, 26.7%, were providing Section 95 asylum-related accommodation within their boundaries. In April 22, the Home Office published a fact sheet which stated that fewer than half of local authorities participated in the asylum dispersal scheme. So what we see here is that the idea of a fairer dispersal is really just an effort to stop any council from being able to refuse the relocation of migrants in the area. And that's quite important.
Yeah, I find the previous stated limit of one asylum seeker per 200 established residents in a local authority has been breached in multiple cases, such as Glasgow City. This arrangement does not only suffer from a low opt-in rate among local authorities, but has also been left exposed to the charge that relatively deprived local authorities with lower housing costs disproportionately bear the brunt of rehoming processes, meaning more affluent local authorities with higher housing costs tend to rehome a slender number of asylum seekers in the UK. But that would just be the case anyway.
Yes.
Because if the standard was density, we know that generally, denser housing tends to be cheaper housing.
Yes.
So it's you know, not just the one factor, it's the two factors here that would be pushing that to happen.
Well, it goes on to say later on in the document that the Welsh government has stated it would like to Wales to establish itself as a sanctuary, nation of sanctuary. And this, again, the Welsh experience, Cardiff and Swansea. And again, this document, which is from a supposedly conservative think tank, is saying, one, stop local councils from refusing migrants, and two, allow places that want to exceed their limit to exceed them enthusiastically.
Oh yeah, in January 2019, it published the document Nation of Sanctuary, Refugee and Asylum Seeker Plan. which states that the successful integration of refugees and asylum seekers will require concentrated effort on the part of the Welsh Government, Welsh public and Welsh communities. The document does importantly acknowledge that the promotion of a person-centred approach over one-size-fits-all measures to facilitate the integration of refugees and asylum seekers. The Wales Strategic Migration Partnership, which is funded by the Home Office and Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, works with partners in the statutory, voluntary, private and community sectors to provide strategic leadership, advisory and coordination function on matters of immigration and asylum. Public-private partnership.
Again, though, but what is mentioned here is the fact that Wales is the nation of sanctuary. And we have all of these basically patterned after the American sanctuary city model.
Yes.
Which has been disastrous. It has allowed unlimited immigration into the US.
Yeah, Wales...
Fully unlimited.
Wales wants to become Skid Row.
Wales wants to become basically like San Francisco or Chicago in terms of its immigration policy. But we have here, you know, Wales is doing it. They have this sanctuary policy. We have here that the SNP has constantly been demanding more control over its immigration policy to loosen it and allow more migrants. And what's happening is that the Conservative government is effectively capitalizing on this. We also have, once again, the Church of Scotland welcomes new Scots. The new Scots phrase is back.
Well, see, this also reminds me, when we were talking about this earlier on, that the like large amounts of like the Church of England network and across the whole of the UK has had stuff like this for years.
Yes, it
they,
has.
They have prioritised the housing and support of migrants and local sort of church communities across all the small towns in England for the last 3 or 4 years now, to the funding of millions, I believe. What's it say in his description? There, that one.
Yeah.
Introducing the day's proceedings, Professor Alison Phillips, who is UNESCO Chair in Refugee Integration at the University of Glasgow and a member of the Iona community, spoke about the new rules which the UK government's planning to introduce. Under the proposals, anyone who enters the UK illegally would be barred from claiming asylum. They have been easier times to seek sanctuary in this country than we are facing at the moment. Ugh, grim. See, he's talking about doing it in bloody Iona. What, you're going to put a bunch of Iraqis and Afghanistan people in the fucking Western Isles? They'll all want to leave, as they did when you tried that, putting them in the bloody Hebrides. You yep. don't want to live up there.
Well, we also have here, once again, we have many cities of sanctuary. So they're actually doing the whole sanctuary city thing directly. Not only is Wales declaring itself a country of sanctuary, they're also doing sanctuary cities.
The disgracefully high amount of mutagenic load in that picture.
It's very, very mutagenic, yes. Sanctuary universities as well, in which universities...
We are a national network of university staff, lecturers, academics and students. Together we are working to make higher education institutions places of safety, solidarity, empowerment for people seeking sanctuary.
Well,
I am coming to your local university, people from the Home Office, and we are removing people because you've just advertised that's where they bloody are.
Well, when Rakib Eshan and when the Tory party and when Policy Exchange talk about the voluntary sector and, you know, the private sector even and things like that and community groups, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about all of these organisations who are waiting in the wings for essentially migration policy to be handed over to them.
Yes.
And we'll see more of that as this document goes on. Here's them talking about the City of Sanctuary UK 2022.
I mean,
stuff.
I consider as well that, like, just for a moment, let's go all the way back to like the ground level. There are, you know, it takes you 2 minutes on Google to find a plethora of organisations and institutions across the country that are putting their hands up and celebrating the fact that we are welcoming in the invaders.
Yes.
We are providing them with housing and everything they need to invade. And they can do that openly and publicly without being challenged.
Well, this is an outgrowth of the current immigration policy and supposed mitigations of migration. These aren't mitigations, these are expansions. And in places, conveniently, you know, it's conveniently within the narrative as well. It's a very much a build-up of this idea of immigration happens naturally and we must deal with it. That is the language here. But the way that they create the infinite migrant centre, really, is through all of this. It's through handing over immigration policy to separate bodies in the way that they've done with like fiscal policy.
Yes, because this stuff, these sanctuary policies, sanctuary universities, sanctuary nations, do not exist in a vacuum. They exist alongside the performative failure of the barge and the military bases. What do they keep calling the bloody thing? I can't remember even the name of it now. The barge that supposedly exists somewhere. We've got to a point
where... Is this barge in the room with you, right?
No, exactly. Things are such a mess nowadays. I don't even know if that barge is actually there or not. Can anyone prove it?
It could just be a facade, like the hospitals were during COVID, but...
Because there was, like, they were doing, like, LBC nonsense, like, live posts about how this part of the government is stopping 200 people being moved to the barge, and... it's such nonsense.
They talk about the military, but all of this stuff is in perpetual limbo. Ministers signal they want to end the use of hotels for asylum seekers, but it continues here. UK asylum ex-military bases to be used as migrant housing plan. This is where they go to the fact that there is, you know, the government's spending 6.2 million a day. There's 51 people currently housed in 395 hotels. If you remember what breached the news cycle during the strange instances of UK migrant protests actually being reported on, was migrant hotels stop the boats. And immediately Rishi Sunak comes out with a pre-made policy idea of migrant hotels focus, stop the boats, ignore everything else.
Well, just look at the wording they've got there as well. There has been media speculation the government could announce plans to use vessels to house migrants, but it wasn't included in what the minister called the first tranche of housing options.
But they've gone for both. We've got talk of these disused military bases, but again, the numbers involved are quite low. 51,000 compared to 1.4 million, again, is quite low. Exclusive. I still have nightmares from my journey at sea. Housing migrants on barge will cause trauma.
Asylum seeker Arian, whose hotel was targeted by the far right, has warned of the devastating impact of housing migrants on a barge. The poor government's making them sit in ducks. Ooh. Does that mean they're going to have some guy come and firebomb the barge and then retcon who he was 2 weeks later like they did with that thing in bloody Dover?
That all went my way and that all got very bucky. But again, army slammed over delays in finding housing for migrants. Exclusive army under attack as their delays disrupt plans to house migrants in their bases. Because they talk about maybe three locations with as much as 6,000. But again, low numbers, 6,000. And here... quasi-prison by delayed as asylum seekers fight move. The UK government has once again found itself in a huge amount of legal wrangling.
My brain is so stupid. We could actually replace Kwasi Kwarteng with George Adegide Dwango, and then it'd be Kwasi Kwarteng. Sorry. As soon as you said that.
All of these wacky measures that focus on a small number of people are failing.
Yes.
It is a limited hangout, and the limited hangout is not even hanging out.
It reminds me of a lot of the very, you know, we've used the term performative failure now, and I kind of almost wish I had that phrase during early COVID, because so many of the things that they put forward as COVID mitigation were things they knew were never going to work, knew were wholly inconvenient, because the real thing was making you take the vaccine and demobilizing you. And it's the same thing here. We're going to get to what the real solution is.
They're exhausting all of the options, because a lot of people have gone, why don't you house them on barges? Why don't you house them in military? I don't think a lot of people actually told them to house them on barges. That's silly. Even I think that's silly. But disused military bases were floated quite a lot, or disused holiday camps. And again, the idea is, well, these asylum seekers are here. We legally have to house them. Remember that part. The real crux here is that they are legally bound to house them. If they weren't legally bound to house them, like an actual UK government that grew some balls would put them on the big cruise ship, drop them back up on France, and say, stop throwing your litter in our yard.
Well, this is the reason why as well we keep mentioning elements like the Modern Slavery Act. Because of the Modern Slavery Act, people can arrive here having never left from a nation that was at war or in crisis. Say they were trafficked here for some purpose, and through the Modern Slavery Act, have a lawyer argue that they aren't just a migrant, they're an asylum seeker.
Yes.
And then, as you say, there then becomes all these provisions that asylum seekers must be met with to be considered housed sufficiently.
Well, once again, even if they are moved to one of these disused military bases, they can claim that their human rights have been violated and sue the government. That's one of the measures that they're trying to prevent happening in some of the migration bill, because it is too embarrassing even for performative failure stuff. But there's all of this legal wrangling going through the courts that is backed by all of the NGOs who are pushing for the solution that the government is pushing for, really, which is the infinite migrant camp in terms of UK housing.
Yes.
Again, routine housing of child asylum seekers in hotels, unlawful High Court rules.
What's the standard they argue this for, then? That even hotels aren't good enough? Charity, every child protected against trafficking, brought legal action against the Home Office over the practice. High Court said children could be placed in hotels for very short periods in true emergency situations, but not systemically or routinely. The Home Office said it had no option but to temporarily use hotels. A spokeswoman said, in light of today's judgment, we will continue to work with Kent County Council and local authorities across the UK to ensure suitable local authority placements are provided for unaccompanied children in line with their duties. So they're going into your house?
Basically, yes. Again, you must remember...
They slipped that stat in there, didn't they? Concerns have been raised after more than 400 children went missing from these hotels. So that's nearly 10... That's 1% almost of all the people in these hotels, at least the children anyway,
yes,
have gone missing.
Yes.
where have the rest of them gone?
Well, the big problem is that, one, all you need to do to be classed as an unaccompanied child migrant is to say you are under the age of 18.
No, I gather this as well, of course.
So they are taught, one, say you're under 18, two, say you were trafficked, three, burn your documents.
Yep.
That is the standard kind of charity NGO care for Calais thing.
I bet
they are given.
You'll be able to walk over the channel soon for the bloody pile of IDs that are in there. They'll be building a land bridge for us.
Well, there's all of these legal challenges, and once again, the numbers involved are staggeringly low compared to even like the numbers in the current asylum backlog. If you look at this is from the Institute for Government, which is another think tank we will tackle in due course, because they are the one who try to sell themselves as the true neutral think tank, as it were. We're not going to bombard you with more think tanks just yet, don't worry. But they're talking about the asylum backlog refers to the number of people seeking asylum in the UK that are waiting for a decision in their case. And those people legally can't work. In fact, there's been measures raised on GB News to say they should be able to work.
Well, yeah, that was an interesting one. I saw the other day. Well, yeah, let's make sure the asylum seekers can work whilst they're here.
Well, the whole problem as well is that we have this backlog, which is about 160,000 people. All these people have to be housed. And because the process takes so long, effectively, they are in the UK for years at many points. And by the time it comes to their hearing, they say, I've been in the UK for 3 years. I've put down roots here. I have a family. Well, I'm doing volunteer
work.
This
also bursts their own narrative somewhat, because what they're suggesting here is that even, say, as of this year, there has been no more, at least according to these statistics, than 200,000 applicants for asylum.
Yes.
So the other 1.2 million people that come in, even though they go and call them asylum seekers,
are not
asylum seekers by their own metrics.
They are simply visas that the government went out and basically gave out at source. And that's what they're talking about doing with the whole safe and legal routes thing. But we'll get onto that. But yes, it is all of this. They're talking about military bases, housing 1,000 people, barges housing 500 people. They've got 51,000 hotels, but the rest of these people are already in the mainline UK housing system. 1.5 million people we're talking about here, including kind of the backlog people, are in like mainline UK housing. That is,
they're in council housing in London. They're in council housing bits of Manchester and Liverpool and Birmingham.
That's more than 2% of the UK population. Was housed in Britain this year. It's amazing, and all of this is obviously being reframed as a housing crisis. We'll go back to, but asylum plan will admit thousands without interview checks, because this really is the plan to get rid of the backlog. It's to just grant them all asylum.
Well, you sort of see the conditions are in place for an explosion of private sector migration, with the government holding their hands up and saying they no longer have or want control of the situation because there's too many people we can't deal with this.
Yeah.
We need, you know, those smart, clever people in the private sector, like Amazon and Google and whoever else, and Serco, to step up and provide the amenities for these people, because the government alone can't do it.
Well, they mention Serco, they mention Median, they mention all these places that we will review in detail. Some of them later, some of them possibly in another stream. But we have to look to Ireland to figure out where this narrative is going, because this, the whole trick here is they turned in Ireland an immigration debate into a housing crisis debate. And they have basically, since this whole far-right anti-immigration activists take credit for burning Dublin refugee camp, which is basically a pile of empty tents that refugees had left on the street that caught fire because they'd all been put in a nearby hotel. And by the way, they never said, no one really ever claimed it.
Posting on social media, the group Real Message Irie says... I just think it's funny. Says they were angry at the presence of what they call a shanty town with illegal migrants and communists in a predominantly working class neighbourhood of the Irish capital.
But this is how it's all being framed. The immigration debate was basically shut down with this one event. And all you have now are headlines like this. Housing shortage has sparked... This is from the Irish Times. Housing shortage has sparked dangerous talk of managed migration. We cannot count on bumper corporate tax takes forever. We must ensure talented people want to remain and come to the state to work and drive our economy and culture. So again, it's the appeal to economy argument here. They're talking about the fact that the housing shortage has sparked the talk of managing immigration. It's a housing crisis. It's not a migration crisis. Here we go again. Housing crisis giving oxygen to anti-migrant movement, says Cork TD. Garda were forced to intervene as hundreds of people gathered in Cork city centre this afternoon for two separate demonstrations, which led to minor altercations between the two groups. Again, giving oxygen, housing crisis is causing the anti-migrant sentiment. Here's one from the BBC from just last month, 7th of June. Ireland needs influx of construction workers. This is really funny. So they need immigrants, but the immigrants are causing a housing crisis, which means they need more immigrants that are construction workers to build the houses, but then they'll need
but
more...
But there's not a migration crisis. Yeah. But see, this, the so simple element to this, if you were viewing it on a longer scale, and I think it's going to be the same here, is there was, you know, housing for veterans, housing for the homeless in Ireland, you know,
yeah,
housing for people who aren't immigrants. And then that movement was very quickly sort of, what I can only presume, subverted by certain actors who then made it housing for everyone, including the migrants.
Yes, well, even the anti-immigration protests that have bubbled to the surface, this is again from the 22nd of January 2023. I actually read this wrong. I thought this was in July. There has been no report in the mainstream press about the anti-migrant protests in Ireland since May. They have disappeared from the news cycle, and all that is talked about is the housing crisis. But again, there is no room. It is once again put forward as a housing crisis. And all of this is wrapped up in the kind of the performative excoration of these people by the tolerant majority.
The Ireland for All March.
Yeah. Basically, thousands of government employees and NGO workers created a mass consent manufacturing factory. And this is what happens. All of this was kind of switched around, quieted down, and folded into a debate about housing for all in Ireland. And really, that's how it comes forth. And again, how Ireland's housing crisis affects refugees and migrants.
It's now all the way back around.
Yes.
So the housing crisis that hasn't been caused by the migrants, however, the housing crisis is affecting the migrants.
Yes, a severe shortage of housing and influx of refugees and migrants contribute to overall public discontent in Ireland. The government is looking for solutions to support both local communities and newcomers. But again, it is all framed around
let's see more of that
housing.
Later. Thousands of Irish families face the prospect of eviction as the government's winter eviction ban ended on March 31st. The main opposition party, Sinn Féin, an advocate for social and housing issues, said it would be cruel and wrong to force thousands of families into the streets at a time when homelessness in the country is already at record levels. Amid the severe housing crisis, many individuals are experiencing the very harmful crossover of homelessness while seeking asylum. I mean, what we know as well is that first paragraph.
Yeah.
Sinn Féin, an advocate for social...
Sinn Féin.
For social and housing issues.
Yes.
Social and housing issues means migration. It means asylum. They're talking about
Irish people being evicted and homeless. You can see the mingling of language here. Yes. It's almost like neurolinguistic programming
People arriving in Ireland are often experiencing high levels of trauma, isolation, language barriers, and a lack of legal and medical support. With no contacts in Ireland, they face further challenges when left to survive alone, homeless, and at risk. Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine began, Ireland also took on a significant number of Ukrainian refugees. Ireland accepted more refugees per capita than the UK or France. Noted Claire Kumar.
Thank you, Claire. But again, we see the very, very clear reframing here. And this interacts perfectly with what we did with our Infinite Counselor state stream. I talked about it earlier, but go check it out if you want the full context. But really, what we talked about during that stream was the fact that a large amount of housing provision is now made as social or semi-social housing. It's between 20 and 40% in new developments. And couple that with housing benefit and the changes to the benefit system, basically any house in Britain can become a house that is housing somebody who is effectively being paid by the government, who is on benefits, who is a, would have been in yesteryear, a council tenant. So between this and the expansion and all of the money that's pumped into it, London especially, but Britain in general, is being turned into one large council estate because there is complete interchangeability between social and non-social housing now. That was the entire thrust of that stream. We explain it in, obviously, in greater detail.
But it's but something we also mentioned in the What Becomes of the Zimmer stream.
Yes.
That there is no such thing as you going out and engaging with the housing market anymore. You will not have a house. You will be housed.
Yes.
And this makes it a very different thing because just like healthcare, all of a sudden it becomes a provision and a right, and all the legal stuff around it all changes. And also, I think in many ways, it might actually be one of the few ways they can work out of the absolute nightmare that is the current housing market at the moment.
Well, these two things come together. If you look at the Ireland situation and you look at the situation with social housing, you can very clearly see the narrative and the thread here that is used to create what we're about to talk about, which is the real expansion of the idea that any house in Britain at any time can become a migrant centre. Like, it really is coming to a street near you stuff.
Via the sponsorship scheme.
Yes, yes. We'll talk about that in a sec. But the preamble to all of this has been the talk about changes to the wider housing system, in quotes. No fault evictions to be banned in reform of rental sector. But really, the whole point of this is benefits. A new law tabled in Parliament would abolish no-fault eviction and bans on tenants claiming benefits. A ban on tenants claiming benefits is also a ban on like refugees, migrants.
Yes.
Most private landlords, or a lot of kind of larger landlords even, do not accept people on benefits because they are a large financial risk. They affect their insurance.
That gets terrible. Housing campaigners said the bill was a huge opportunity, but warned it created risk creating loopholes for eviction. Under the new law, tenants would be given the legal right to request to keep a pet in their home, which the landlord cannot unreasonably refuse.
It basically means that you're on your own home if you are renting it. But the big point here, the big interaction with the immigration system is bans on tenants claiming benefits. That is a big one here. Because it's another part of the patchwork that allows the system to take place.
Well, yeah, to maybe just explain it to people who haven't clicked yet.
Yeah.
You know, prior to this law coming in, you could have de facto said you wanted no refugees or immigrants on your property.
Yeah.
Because it is more than likely that the payment for rent that they would be paying to you would be coming via the benefit system. And it would be your right as a private landlord to say, no, I want someone with their own private expendable income to pay me rent, not someone who gets a government guaranteed stipend.
Yes.
And now you can't do that anymore, which, as you said, doesn't just open it up to, you know, council schemies being able to get private lets, because they won't get them anyway.
Well, it is.
Because Serco is already going to come along and buy all the private lets off of folk anyway and put migrants into them.
Well, let's go back to the policy exchange report here. This is what caught all the headlines. This is the introduction by the Right Honourable Sir Brandon Lewis, CBE MP, former Minister for State for Immigration. He says, where is it? Sorry. This is why I support Policy Exchange's recommendations that a safe and legal, again the buzzword here, safe and legal route with a cap directly controlled by Parliament should be established. So he's talking about the small boats, instead of them just being kicked back out, they're just going to let them in. But oh, it's okay, there's a Parliament. There's a Parliament
as long as they say they're from Hong Kong or they're from Ukraine or they're from Afghanistan.
Not even that. As the report says, we must also do more to galvanise community efforts, such as by expanding the sponsorship model for Ukrainian refugees to other nationalities. So the burden of sponsoring refugees is spread evenly rather than falling on the poorest. This is already happening. As we've talked about before, what is no longer revelation, is normalization.
Yes,
that is one of our kind of like little mantras we take people through. As I have you there as the black pill dinner lady.
Someone else sent us another lovingly manufactured black pill dinner lady image as well, I believe.
Yes, they did. I will use that in due course. Thank you, Frozen. I know who did that. Thank you for making that. We will use that in future. I don't have it to hand anyway, but yes, what is no longer revelation is normalization. That is what's going on here, because Britain should be asked to house Afghans as thousands face hotel evictions. Here is the end point of the stop the boats, clear the hotels narrative, which is the media, the UK government and the think tanks going, hold on, you can't victimize the poor Afghan heroes who betrayed their own people for NATO. Yes, officer, there's Taliban in there, shoots five children. Oh no, why does my country hate me?
Yeah, why do they want to hang me now?
I don't trust collaborators. Anyway, Britain could be asked to, immigration minister considering launch of homes for Afghans after similar scheme of that offered to Ukrainians. What the Tory government via Policy Exchange, via Ricky Bershan, is proposing is this system for all migrants. If you want to sponsor a migrant, they say, go nuts.
Yep.
Go nuts. We'll pack as many in as possible. And on a surface level, a lot of people go, well, you know, that might get them more dispersed, and that might alleviate, this might solve the problem, but it still increases migration.
See, I can already foresee the problem with this. And I said it before in the first stream that, you know, you could just have like some Qatari organization through mosques engage in a sponsorship scheme.
Of course.
But what if, you know, what if you are already someone who lives here who, let's just say, is from Afghanistan and you've got a bit of money and you decide to sponsor some other people from Afghanistan to come over here.
Yeah.
But you're not actually sponsoring them. You're using them as slave labor. You know, at what point does that then fall so badly that they then need to, oh, we need a new revision to the Modern Slavery Act, and we need a whole government department that overlooks the sponsorship scheme, and then we need a whole other department that makes sure that the minimum housing standard is met during the carrying out of the sponsorship scheme. It never ends.
Well, what we have here really is, It's a confluence. The dispersal and sponsorship aspect is in the more fair distribution and the sponsorship are linked. It allows the sidestepping of objections from local councils and local residents, as these are now simply private contractual agreements that are no longer have any planning status.
They know they need planning permission. They can do what they want.
Yeah. These people, by law, must be housed. This is the infinite migrant camp. And the people carrying this out and who do it at scale on behalf of private citizens are Serco. It's the people who were mentioned, as we put on screen earlier, in the Policy Exchange report. It's Serco, it's the Mears Group, and it's the Ready Homes, who is from, I can't remember who they're from. They're from a different company. But Ready Homes and Ready Landlords is their vertical. So Serco is by far the biggest. I think Mears is about...
Mears is still a pretty big organisation.
Yeah, Mears is second in terms of housing, and I believe Ready Landlords is third in terms of scale. Serco has their calling all landlords thing. Basically, if you have a house and you want the government to pay you effectively betrayal money to house migrants, they'll already do it. But there's been a lot of people who've had bad experiences with it. There's actually quite a lot online. We might go through this in some detail. Another point, there's quite a lot online about the fact that Serco are basically impossible to deal with because they're an arm of government and they are lawsuit proof.
Do we want to maybe have a look through some of the blurb for this? Because I'm not sure if we've actually read it out in full
Oh,
on
no, I
screen.
was going to say, yeah, we've got time here so we can do this more in full. If you want to read this.
We're looking for landlords, investors, and agents with properties available in the Northwest, Midlands, or East of England. All types of properties are required.
Calling all landlords, yes.
Serco provides asylum accommodation and support services in the Northwest of England, Midlands, and East of England. Our purpose is the provision of accommodation, transportation, and subsistence payments. Subsistence payments?
Benefits.
Universal subsistence payments.
Yes.
For asylum seekers, whilst their claims are being processed, which we know there's a backlog and they'll never fill them all out, so this is basically where you're going to give them permanent residence anyway.
Yeah.
We are responsible for over 30,000 asylum seekers and an ever-growing portfolio of more than 7,000 properties. So they're already there.
Yes.
There is already 7,000 properties housing these 30,000 people, but that still doesn't scratch the 1.4 million really yet, does it?
Well, they end up in the social housing system. Once you end up with essentially permission to stay in the UK, once you have a visa, you then have to be offered social housing because
they
can't
make
you homeless.
If it's further down on this page,
yes.
But the basic, yes. Benefits. We are confident that our lease provision offers an attractive and competitive proposition within the industry. Of course you are, because you're funded by the government. Long-term lease. Leases available for 5+ years with no void periods. Rent paid on full, on time, every month, with no arrears.
That is completely untrue. Apparently, there's a lot of landlords who've had trouble with Serco just not paying bills to the point that bailiffs have entered the property to fit prepaid gas meters.
Repairs and maintenance. Full repair and maintenance lease, excluding latent and structural deficits. So, tandoori of an insurance.
Yeah.
Bills. Utilities and council tax bills paid by Serco. Property management, full HMO and property management, including monthly property and periodic safety inspections. Bet you that's not true.
No fees.
No fees, no letting or management costs. But it's just so, it feels so egregious. Like, as we discussed in the Zoomer stream, if you are trying to rent a property, you know, tactically, in an area where you can do it as cheap as you can, in a reasonable enough way to live, whilst also being in proximity to a job that you pays enough for the property and you can cover your transport and all that. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. And all of a sudden, you know, all of these people that own these properties, instead of having to deal with wages or students who might, you know, once every 6 months go, oh, sorry, I've not got any money. No, just hand your property over to Serco and let them do it.
Well,
five
here we have Mears
sorted,
that has,
guaranteed
the,
income.
Has the same thing. Why partner with Mears? Basically, experience of managing around 17,000 homes in collaboration with landlords across the UK. Mears does more than just, like, Serco specifically does, like, migrant housing.
Mears does a lot more social and council housing.
But yes, with Mears, here's, you see kind of the porousness between the two. Mears will probably be one where they are given a permanent home, effectively, as well. But they talk about the same thing, no legal fills, all utility bills, water rates and council tax.
So do they not
tenants.
Have a specific vertical anywhere for migrant stuff on their site?
They talk about properties in Scotland, properties in England, looking to invest in property landlord tenants.
I would just have a search on their thing.
Basically, they do both. What types of properties are we looking for? How much rent will you get? Well, they do this, you can apply to be either a migrant house or a social housing house through this scheme.
Yes.
And basically, the two are identical.
Yes.
housing people on like long-term DSS who have bills paid at source is exactly the same process as housing migrants.
Yeah.
It is identical. They are legally, basically identical. And I wanted to forget this one because it shows that there's porousness between the two. And again, you have zero hassle, long-term guaranteed rents, help rent my property, zero hassle, long-term guaranteed rent, 20 years, experience of property management, ready homes, offer you study, investment with zero hassle. And again, they do both, but really, ready landlords is largely about migrant housing and also social housing.
Yeah.
It's not private landlording.
It becomes so obvious when you start to see this stuff. How they're going to frame this.
Well, there's also, sorry, did get the last, go on, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, much like the thing in Ireland, It was small boats, anti-immigration. We're outraged in the hotels. We're outraged they're on the barges.
Yeah.
At no point, obviously, can you argue that they shouldn't be here. But then, obviously, the government then comes along and says, "Well, if you don't like the small boats and the hotels and the barges,
Yeah.
then we've got a different solution." And the different solution is Serco. It is a private, quote unquote, housing provision for all asylum seekers. At which point the British public themselves go, "Well, we don't get guaranteed houses and we live here." So the government just goes, "Well, that's great because we've spent the last 2 years prototyping a housing provision platform through Serco to the migrants. So now you can just have it now and
Well,
turn it on like
a point
that."
often missed by people. One, Serco is a mega prison contractor that runs semi-private prisons for the UK government. But two, Mears Group, Serco, and Ready Homes and their parent company all exclusively work for the government. They do not do work that is not for the British government. They are a wink and a nod, arms of the UK government. And well, I think we should tackle them as kind of entities, because I would like to do a stream at some point about basically who profiteers from this.
Yes.
Like, it's very cui bono, but we can get into some of the relations because some of it's hilarious how incestuous this world is and how porous these companies are with sitting MPs. It's like the think tanks again. These are organs of state, very, very, very obviously. You don't have to go very far to see
But
that these people are just the same people as we've been
there's
seeing at
nothing
this watch.
political about housing millions of migrants in the
Yes.
country. That's just neutral. That's just what we do.
Thank you for the £5 there, Kate. Great stream. Did you catch the housing expropriation EU law they tried to push through earlier this year? It failed, but will be reanimated soon. There has been a lot of attempts at that. I believe the Dutch recently have kind of some weirdness about like house price controls as well, because I think the way the EU was trying to sell it was that they were trying to control house prices with it. There's been several of those though, so I'm not actually 100% sure which one you're talking about, but I've seen basically all of them because there's been dozens of these where it's been the case of if houses are left empty, the government can come in and house people. And
Well,
it's like the spare room tax thing.
yeah, the one in Holland was just hilarious because it's like, well, if a house gets sold for less than 250,000 euros, you can't prioritize who it goes to. At
Yes.
which point, of course, no house ever gets sold for less than 250,000 euros.
Of course, of course. But again, empty home support for homeowners. Basically, what Serco is offering is that they will come in, they will assess a home, they will make it livable in quotes, and they will turn it into migrant accommodation without you even having to deal with it. If you are somebody who is poor, basically, and your parents have died, and you're not sure what, you don't really want to sell the house, you'd like to make an income from it, but you don't want to deal with it. There are a lot of people in the Northwest and in other places who've been basically just handing over small, slightly shabby. This is basically dead old people home repurposing.
It's all the red brick terraces and bits outside of Manchester that used to have
Yeah.
thousands of families living in them, and now they're all destitute because there's no work there. And well, let's solve the problem of empty houses and migrants with nowhere to live.
Another one that I think we talked about before, but not in detail, is the laxing of quote unquote protections for housing, because this is a framing exercise, and it's a framing exercise about this being bad for migrants, about this being something that's open to legal, asylum seekers challenge the lack of protections, the addiction protections. The government is not fulfilling their duty to asylum seekers, but really, this has been sneaked in under that framing because what it allows them to do is not have planning permission to make anywhere housing kind of sorry, migrant housing. It means that there's no limit on room sizes, there's no limit on property type. Basically, this is the last ingredient in the infinite migrant camp. The removal of protections for asylum seekers means that they can utilize a wider range of a housing stock in a more creative manner. And adding this all together, the asking for it from policy exchange, the expansion of private sponsorship schemes in quotes, the presence of Serco and the Mears Group and Just Housing to create, sorry, Ready Landlords to create this instant boom where a property becomes available. And all of the house building provisions, all the existing social housing, the pipeline between them is a... You can't help but see this as what it is. Mm. It's very, very clear that this is how it's being constructed.
It's all okay, though.
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to wait until the government builds a migrant camp in your back garden, you can build your own!
Yeah, I was looking for decent PNGs or decent reference images to put on the thumbnail with the UN tents, and I found that you can just buy UN human rights you can build yourself a fake refugee camp, which has extreme implications for footage you may be seeing.
Sorry, it's just as you were talking through that there, I know what the next link is. I just couldn't help but think, well, you know, if you're chomping at the bit to house migrants, just make your own in your back garden. You could turn your local park and your town and city into your own Cali jungle.
Oh, let me put that back on, because it's just the... This is obviously in some weird, like, Chinese suburb somewhere that they're putting up refugee tents. But I don't know if these are fake or what, but the fact that there's about 15 different sellers selling
this. The Chinese wouldn't sell anything fake now, would they? Or is this actually them just, like, completely, you know, lifting the rug up and admitting the fact that they go and do all sorts of heinous stuff in bits of the third world, pretending they're the UN?
Possibly. I don't know. That I can't believe you can just buy these. I mean, you have to buy like a lot of them. But still, if you're an NGO who wants to make a PSYOP happen, oh boy.
But do we
have the materials for you.
To finish off, all of this stuff is a massive wet dream for open borders organisations who are simply an investment path for large NGOs from being able to turn whole towns and cities into migrant camps.
Yeah.
Your Open Democracies, your Care for Cali, all these groups are probably... chomping at the bit, waiting for this stuff to be formalized so they can step in and be, you know, well, we'll be the charity that helps to make sure the housing provision's good enough, and we'll be the charity that buses them around the country, and we'll be the and you know, before you know it, it becomes another multi-billion pound industry, just the housing of migrants.
All of these things together, though, creates that situation where not only will you get greedy people like the hotel kind of operators who cashed in on the crisis to a degree, but you will have a situation where you are, like I said, you are handing over immigration policy effectively to the private sector.
I can already foresee a situation where the sort of insufferable people I knew during university who were sort of weird communists who were like, yeah, we should be good to people and we should do this, that, and the next thing, but my dad owns 4 homes and rents them all out as Airbnbs.
Yeah.
When his dad dies in 15 years' time, you know what's happening to those 4 properties.
Yeah.
They're getting sold to these people. It all adds up in a situation where once this has been formalized, not just for migrants, but for citizens, which is going to happen. I think that's such an obvious thing.
It's an exact replica of the social housing situation. It is the infinite councillor state transmuted to house migrants.
But not just that, it's like there's the social housing provision for X groups of people, then there's the social housing provision for all of the group of migrants.
Well, as we talked about with the island stuff, the island debate was, well, you're housing migrants, you're not housing citizens. So Sinn Féin, the left-wing party, goes, we'll turn it into a debate about housing everyone. Houses for all, let's build all the houses. Pods for everybody. Yeah, and that's how it's going to be over here. A lot of people, we are a couple of years away, really, from this going from a empty the hotels to a we've filled all the housing to a discussion around the fact that British people also want to be housed for free like migrants are.
Oh, weird fucking, like, spinster women in, like, their 50s, like, sponsoring big black dudes for the Congo to come and live with them and that. But, no, you will no longer be able to choose a home. Housing will not be a market. You will be housed. You will be sheltered like a small animal.
Yes.
What is workshopped on the migrant populace, like digital ID was,
yes,
will be made a universalist ideal for the rest of the population. People will clamour, why can't we be housed for free just like that? And what I wonder is that for people out there that do these, you know,
Yes, Tom Howard's wet dream.
Yeah, houses for X group or the National Housing Party or this, that and the next thing are basically sitting there waiting in the wings for this sort of, you know, the BBC and Guardian articles that say government guarantees housing scheme for refugees so that they can all sit there and go, well, where's the houses for the rest of us?
As we talked about, I think rather prophetically with the People's Bailout, which will come to pass, is coming to pass and is slowly moving its way into popular parlance, we will see the debate change around immigration into purely a housing debate.
Mm.
And all of what we've said here will become your mainstream news cycle. You will hear constant news about housing fairness, social housing, a resetting of the housing market, a new housing deal for Britain, houses for the people is how it will be sold to you. But all of it will be a reframing of this. And you will end up not only with an infinite council estate, but within that council estate, there will be an infinite migrant camp. And that's all that Britain will be, is a large sector of single unit eco housing in which people don't, you know, they don't choose a home, they are housed.
They are housed like animals.
Yes.
This makes me consider, as I do more and more every day now, that maybe it's a regrettable thing that we aren't speaking German.
I speak a bit of German.
I say we. But anyway. It seems that there's been some very generous people in the chat this evening. I'm not sure if there's anything else come through any of the other sources.
I've had a quick look. It seems they've all come through YouTube. I've tried to keep a double check and stuff. But thank you for your generosity, guys. Thank you for everyone who's donated. If you are a subscriber over on the Substack, this will be available tomorrow as an audio podcast as well, so you can kind of listen at your convenience. We will also be posting on Substack the research notes. We have a little research notes vertical here. And if you want to do some kind of deeper dives, we've left that as a reward for people who are subscribers over on Substack. So do subscribe over on Substack if you want to have a bit of a deeper dive into our content, as it were. Thank you for the £5 there. William Hero, is that?
Yeah, William. I think them clear them out, man. That'd be Jonathan Bowden.
Yeah.
Talked about how when the English become a minority, they'll start grouping up and thinking like all the other minorities. I mean, this is possibly true. It's something we've even talked about before.
But they'll do it in the really wet kind of British Pakistani population
kind
of
way.
That's what the becoming a minority stuff's about. Right?
Yeah, but I wonder if a lot of the pushing of this racial stuff now is to get us prepared for a situation in which we are minorities. However, I'm going to make it worse for you, because I'm going to tell you, if you are someone who is racially conscious as a native Brit, you are already the minority, and that is the problem.
Because yes.
Race isn't a characteristic that everyone has. It's something that people, a very small minority of people, embody in some sense in their actions. So it's not quite as easy as the numbers game, I'm afraid.
Anyway, we don't want to depress people too much, but we do put this forward to make people be wary of this. Don't fall for the debate, don't fall for the reframing, and when it comes out, tell people about it. Tell people they're being lied to, because a large part of the populace will fall for this. Just tell them, look, you're being told that this is a housing crisis, not a housing crisis. There is a lack of housing in the UK because 1.4 million people were given visas in 2022. That's it. That should be the end of the discussion, the start of a discussion about how people start being repatriated and how the borders are shut. But as we aren't able to do that because of all this reframing and all this dialectic space that's taken up by the Conservative Party. And I don't see this. There's a few people talked about it because the Serco stuff has breached the surface somewhat. But in totality, this is not something that comes from the voluntary sector. This is not something that even comes from Serco. This is something that is coming from central government itself.
Well, that's the thing why we focus sort of on all the different things that are attached directly to the Home Office.
Yeah.
And we've had such a big focus recently on specific domestic stuff in the UK because so much of this is either rapidly developing or at some point coming to a head. And we feel that of all the things we could spend our time covering, this really is the most important stuff.
Yes.
And no one else is going to do it. I mean, we could sit here doing streams about, here's what Ron DeSantis said today, here's what Trump said today, here's what's happening in geopolitics, and maybe we'd be more popular and more people would engage with our stuff. But at the end of the day, we cover this stuff because it's serious. It's not entirely entertaining as much as we try to make it a little bit, but because it needs to be done. And there are people who are willing to show up and be there for that. So
yes, again, thank you guys for showing up. Thank you for everyone who's donated. Do check out our other content if you like this. Do interact with the videos. It does help us, and it is the kind of non-monetary way you can help us. Or just be part of the community.
And maybe if you're a channel member, you can get some custard with your black pills.
Yes, if channel members get custard with their black pills. And so do Substack subscribers. So that's how you get your custard. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for coming to our stream today. Do check out our research and read around these topics. We will miss stuff. Have yourself a good evening, and
we'll see you next week. And we'll get to the pub.
Yes, get to the pub.
Thank you.